This Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday, and it marks a transition for us in the church year. This is the last Sunday of the Epiphany season. The emphasis is on revealing who Jesus was, showing us who the child born in the manger at Christmas is. Jesus, the person who came to change lives. We have seen in Jesus' ministry, we've seen him as a preacher, healer, fulfiller of the law, and also of gathering together his disciples, who when they agreed to follow him, did not fully realise what that would mean for them. Jesus, as we have known, was not conventional. He mixed with those considered unworthy and outcasts. Jesus changed lives. And today, in the Gospel reading, we see Jesus revealed as never before, up on the mountain, shrouded by a cloud. Jesus' divinity is revealed to Peter, James, and John. God tells us that Jesus is his son, similar words used when God spoke at Jesus' baptism with John the Baptist. Matthew describes the effect of the transfiguration. He describes that Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Scholars describe this as more than just an exterior sign, but that it was his divinity shining through his humanity that was being witnessed by the disciples, and those disciples that were chosen by Jesus to experience this revelation. This passage is closing the season of Epiphany and preparing us for the start of Lent and the journey to the cross and the resurrection at Easter. Mountains have featured a lot in the Old and New Testament. God has used them when communicating with human beings. As we heard in the passage read from Exodus, Moses received 10 commandments on Mount Sinai. Also, Elijah heard the voice of God while he was in a cave on Mount Horeb. Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac on a mountain. The city of Jerusalem is built on hills, and Jesus is transfigured on a mountain. In Scotland, we are very fortunate to have such beautiful scenery, from the lowland hills to the rugged mountains of the Highlands, a constant reminder of God's creation. One day last week, I was leaving for work and Lochgelly was sunny. And yes, it does shine in Lochgelly sometimes. And I looked towards Billingrey and there was a ribbon of mist in the valley. So the lower part of Lochgelly was hidden from view. But Billingrey was still visible. It was getting some sunshine as well. And it made me think of today's passage with the cloud on the mountain. The experience that Jesus and also Peter, James and John had on the mountain gave them the encouragement for what lay ahead. This was when the realization of the journey towards the cross was drawing close for Jesus. On the mountain, they had experience of the beauty of Creator God, and then to hear his voice speak through the cloud. And the experience did not finish there. Next, they saw Moses and Elijah, two major important people of the Old Testament. And this shows that there was a link with Jesus and the history of the nation of Israel. Here we see God placing Jesus firmly in the Old Testament, firmly in Israel's history. Here we see, on the mountaintop, two of the Old Testament important figures, Moses, a leader and lawgiver, and Elijah, a prophet, standing beside Jesus. This encounter showed that God was fulfilling his plan to the people of Israel. Jesus was God's Son, the Redeemer that Israel waited for, the Messiah. Jesus would change lives. The amazement the disciples must have felt would have been immense, so much so that Peter did not want the moment to cease. He may have been afraid, but he wanted to build a dwelling for Moses, Elijah, and one for Jesus. But before he could say any more, God spoke. And God told them to listen to Jesus, his Son. And then the moment was gone, and they were alone with Jesus. Everything was back to normal. Moses and Elijah were gone, and they no longer heard the voice of God. Gone was Jesus' appearance of brilliant white clothing and shining light. Everything was back to normal. Or was it? Could anything ever be as it was before for those who had experienced the transfiguration? Jesus was the only one left, but as Jesus was fulfilling past prophecy and leading the way to a divine future, surely that is as it should be. The transfiguration event was a turning point in Jesus' life. He knew that from that point onwards, the road for him was to Jerusalem and the cross. That was God's way. While up on the mountain, the disciples had observed the change in Jesus' appearance and were deeply moved by what happened. But when they came down the mountain and the glow was gone, what happened then? How could they get the glow back? How could they hold on to that experience on the mountain? There's nothing quite like a real log fire or a coal fire, is there? These are more treats for us nowadays, now that our homes have central heating. But I'm sure most of us can remember when we didn't have central heating in our homes and the only room that was heated was the living room with the fire. And when you were close to the fire, you were nice and warm and cosy, a real comforting feel. But move away from the fire and you soon lost that warm, cosy feeling. Sometimes as Christians, we gradually move away from the fire and lose that warm glow. To get it back, we need to return to the warmth, to Jesus, to listen to him and his message for our lives. Jesus changes lives. So what if it was us on the mountain? What would our experience be? Who would we see? I would like us to think about a sermon by Charles Spurgeon from 1870, well before our time. And it's entitled, Jesus Only. And he asked his congregation to think about this question. Who would they see on the mountain? He suggests that some people might only see Moses, because as they live and experience God, they only see the God who was the lawgiver. Spurgeon goes on to say, it would have been a very sad exchange to have seen only Moses. He used very expressive language in his next phrase, which was, who would exchange the cold moonbeams of Moses and the law for the sunny rays of the Saviour's divine affections? Who would exchange the cold moonbeams of Moses and the law for the sunny rays of the Saviour's divine affections? And this imagery resonated with me, that the cold moonbeams were seen at night, therefore linked to the dark, and sun rays were seen during the day and linked to light. The Jewish church at the time of Jesus was very law orientated and adhered to the law of Moses, as we have seen in many passages of the gospel, when the church leaders are asking Jesus why he and his disciples do not always follow the laws. They were so focused on the law that they missed the warmth of Jesus and his relationship with people, and didn't realize that Jesus had come to fulfill the law. Jesus changes lives. And what does this say to us today? It's not saying we don't need laws, because we do. But we need to be open-minded and not let laws keep us from knowing Jesus. Do we sometimes get so wrapped up in our everyday lives that we do not make any time for God? We are so focused that we do not see beyond the issue of the day. If you were there on the mountaintop, who or what would you see? For me this week, if I was on the mountaintop, I would have seen the words stress and a sign saying, get me to the end of the week, for that was my focus. But I would also see Jesus beside me, nudging me forward, encouraging, because that was how this week has felt. As Jesus revealed to his disciples his true nature on the mountaintop, let us never lose sight of the fact that Jesus changes lives. As we begin our Lenten journey, let us clear our minds and focus on Jesus as he journeys towards Jerusalem and the cross. Let us take time to reflect on what he has done for us. Let us do what God told Peter, James, and John to do. Listen to Jesus. For through Jesus comes salvation. Jesus changes lives. Amen.